mind, the Shadow Net could be used both overtly to publicly help with the PAO or covertly for black psyops, right? Those are the IIA policy guides, right? Modified the contract that I had been on for 5 years, removing only the requirements for my position. And then within about 3 days after I left, they modified that $12 million contract back to its original requirements and just replaced me. And that was a day after two people had filed an official complaint of abuse. Wow. And then I start to see that the same people involved with the dossier and all of these things coming out were the same people involved with my former employer and with my company. And so then I start doing a little digging that these people, these 17 intelligence agencies who are 100% sure it was the Russians, are coming out and saying it was my job to make sure that, you know, they can't tell that for sure. I know they were lying. It was just, you got everybody that was involved, that's involved in our impeachment process right now, as far as from the State Department, every key member of that, every key figure, with maybe the exception of Sondland, are all active members of the Atlantic Council. Because now whistleblowers like me, who were completely betrayed, people that came to them with seeking help, are completely betrayed. So,
after too much procrastination, finally the shop is up on sarahwestell.com with all of my favorite products and affiliates. Between this and Patreon donations, I can keep providing you with important independent reporting and interesting interviews. Products available include the skincare products I personally use, hemp oil infused with C60 serum and Defy Times TAM serum. Also, Tetragen's amazing weight loss product that gives you an industry-first money-back guarantee because they know it works. Please visit my shop to support independent journalism and to get the absolute best products on the market. Also, for a limited time, be sure to download the free ebook, Water, How Water Connects All Living Things. Now, the Shadow Net, did it just work on the United States, or did it also work all over the world?
I only worked overseas using the tools, and keep in mind, the Shadow Net could be used both overtly to publicly help with the PAO or covertly for black psyops, right? Those are the IIA policy guides, right? So I only worked overseas on the IIA programs. And I don't ever discuss what we may or may not have done that would be anything beyond something you would have been able to have read that was posted or disseminated online with proper attribution. I'll never discuss whether or not, I can tell you what it's capable of and other components built into it. But I wouldn't say either way if we ever did anything else, right? And that's where I draw the line, which is kind of a gray area. I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, well, you did a sworn affidavit to Congress. What was the point of that? What were you trying to get accomplished? This just came out in July of 2019. As a whistleblower, what was your goal?
Well, I started out actually in 2015. I did my first whistleblower complaint when I was removed from my position in South Korea. Again, it had started, it's something that really started back in 2013, but in around March or April of 2015, I refused to provide administrative access on a classified network to a GS, a government employee. I think it was a 14, who didn't have the proper authorization, what didn't have the memorandums, didn't have, wasn't to be allowed access. And the guy sitting, the, the contractor sitting next to me heard the guy screaming at me and cursing at me so loud for not giving him access and threatening to fire me that he, along with myself, filed a formal complaint of abuse, right, through our chain of command. And the following day, the same people that were that had threatened to have me removed worked with the prime on the contract and the director and the deputy of USFK J8 modified the contract that I had been on for 5 years, removing only the requirements for my position. And then within about 3 days after I left, they modified that $12 million contract back to its original requirements and just replaced me. And that was a day after two people had filed an official complaint of abuse. So clearly, you would think that as a whistleblower, and when I went to the DOJ IG and filed this whistleblower complaint, that you would be protected, right? Because contractors and subcontractors were supposed to be protected. But then they ended, I found out, and you can see by the by their denial letter, the formal IG closing it out, that they said, listen, because subcontractors weren't covered at the time that this event happened under whistleblower protection, basically you're screwed. And I then tried to take it. I tried to fight it through the chain of command there, couldn't do anything. Then I went to my congressman, a Republican here in Pasco County. He's completely worthless. He sent it to OSHA. What the hell does OSHA have to do with a whistleblower complaint in South Korea for the DOD? I have no idea. But, not surprisingly, OSHA came back and said there's nothing we can do. So I was just astounded that something like that, a person doing their job, the very reason that people like Edward Snowden and such are able to access data they shouldn't be able to access. I'm doing my job preventing unauthorized access to classified information, and I lose my job from that. And this is a $10 billion program we're in charge of. We had all the comptroller's data for South Korea, right? And it's just mass corruption in South Korea, nepotism and corruption throughout it. And so when you hear President Trump say, we shouldn't be in there, I totally agree. It's just disgusting. A whole nother subject, right? But that's what got me started on, wow. And then I start to see that the same people involved with the dossier and all of these things coming out were the same people involved with my former employer and with my company. And so then I start doing a little digging. I originally started writing my book to tell the story how I enlisted in the Army at 39, turned 40 at basic training, and it was kind of like a letter to my kids, because I missed 7 years of their lives growing while overseas, on these different deployments, either in uniform or for on contracts, right? And my marriage had fallen apart, and all these things fell apart in my life. So I sort of started writing the book to tell us this story to my kids. And then the Hillary DNC emails come out, and I just the things that I heard about, it's the Russians. And I'm like, are you serious? Of course it's not the Russians. Or at least if it was the Russians, you've got no justification to come out within 3 days or even 3 years and say that we know for certain, because it was the job of people like me to create the ability to mask and create breadcrumbs that these people, these 17 intelligence agencies who are 100% sure it was the Russians, are coming out and saying, it was my job to make sure that, they can't tell that for sure. I know they were lying. It was disingenuous just because they said it was for certain. If they would have come out and said, well, we're pretty sure it is, but because, you know, these we just there's no way for sure for us to know, then I would have been okay with that. But I knew something was up, and I knew, and it just, I've actually literally written white papers very similar to this, which are the intellectual property rights of Dynology, of the very same scenarios that you've seen play out.
Well, so now,
you know, so I recognize this
so
stuff.
You just fed up, and then so you, that's why you put this thing together. Now, you have been, the mass media is ignoring this, although you did talk to a few of them, and then they decided not to air the show. I am not surprised. That's a very common thing I'm being told by whistle. Mass media, as far as I'm told, are completely worthless, and this is a great example of how worthless they are. They have some good information, and they're not utilizing it, and they're just going with whatever narratives that their two parties want them to go with. So can you explain kind of what your experience has been with the mass media?
Well, the problem that they have with me is that my honor and integrity and stupidity combined refuses to allow me to just let them do that without speaking out. And I don't care if nobody's listening or if one or two people are listening or if it jeopardizes my ability to get my story out because I didn't play ball. Clearly, I'm not of the nature to play ball. And that we've had some people that, you know, when you work, when you've spoken on the phone, like I spoke on the phone with Judge Jeanine back in December of 2018. I first started my conversations with Sarah Carter back in January 12th or 13th of 2019. And I spoke to them and communicated and collaborated with them over the next month and a half or so. And, you know, these are supported in text messages and such, which I've posted. And literally, the last message I got from Sarah Carter was, hey, we're rolling. I spoke to Judge Jeanine. We're rolling your story out throughout the week. It's too big to do just in one segment. We're going to roll it out on Fox the next week. I've spoken to Judge Jeanine. I got a text message from Judge Jeanine that said, I'm reaching out to Devin Nunes in our year issue. And Devin Nunes is very high. Devin Nunes is in charge of the intelligence committee, right? The committee that I'm supposed to be able to go to as a whistleblower. My congressman, Gus Bilirakis, called Devin Nunes's office in 2018 when he was still the person in charge before Schiff had taken over. And so she sends me that text message saying, I'm speaking to Nunes now. I've posted it online. And then I've never heard from them again. So as a whistleblower who gets a message from a senior a journalist, who very, very powerful, high-level journalist, two of them, saying that they're rolling your story out and that they've just spoken to Devin Nunes, and then you never hear another word from them again. Not even a, hey, we decided not to do this story, or hey, we need more time, or hey, nothing. Just never heard a single word from, never responded to another text message, never responded to a phone call. It violates every journalistic code of ethics that there is, and it hurts every journalist out there, because now whistleblowers like me, who were completely betrayed, people that came to them with seeking help, are completely betrayed. So I don't stand up to Judge Jeanine because I have some sort of political death wish. I do it because of the next whistleblower that she or Amy Robach, you know, look what Amy Robach did. Would she, you wouldn't even know that if it wasn't for Veritas, but Amy Robach came, you know, right out and said, described exactly what she described happened to her, sounds exactly like what happened to me. I would suspect if somebody had the balls to sit down and speak to either Judge Jeanine or Sarah Carter, they'd probably get a similar story from somebody at Fox that basically Epsteined me, you know? And think of how many people Think of how many people were hurt because they killed that story on Epstein. Think of how many underage women were potentially, and that's in Amy Robach's own words, how many other women were sacrificed for this. And I tell you, I sent an email about my story to Amy Robach thinking maybe she would do something. Never heard from her, but she's on my list. Right? And so someday.
Well, she doesn't have the power now, probably. That just really clearly show you that she didn't have the power. Yeah. You know, Kirk Wiebe, the same thing happened to him. They interviewed him, they got him on camera and everything else, and then they killed it. Well, of course, she got a job offer, and next thing you know, she's working the revolving door in the government. Mm-hmm. There's something going on. I was on Janda this past weekend on his show talking about how they black out stories. This is an example of how they black out stories. And they're almost worthless as far as I'm concerned because they only cover certain things.
I love the work Matt Gaetz has done, right? I was like, wow, this guy will help. I've personally met with him. I've shaken his hand. I've talked to him about it at his inauguration. Think about it. He's a freshman congressman, right? And I've got a picture of him online holding my document in his hand that George Colella gave him with Bikers for 45 at a luncheon that they had a month and a half, 2 months after I had originally spoken to him. And he assured me that, wow, I made Obama's shadow net, right? You got to talk to me. And he's like, absolutely, we will. And so I'm like, well, you know, he's not returning my calls for weeks and weeks. And then George met with him, and George brought my packet with him and gave it to him.
Who's
again?
George?
George Colella with the co-founders of Bikers for Trump, but now he's Bikers for 45.
Okay, you said
right?
that.
And so, so you've got multiple instances. Now, how does a fresh? Now, did he? Why did he use my information? Did he go to Nunes with my information and Nunes say, listen, you need to shut up about this, and if you do, I'll give you, a freshman congressman, a seat on the Intelligence Committee? I don't know, but I sure as hell know I've given it to him and spoken to him personally twice. I personally spoke to Lindsey Graham. Doesn't surprise me with his connection to John McCain that even though I told him and I've shook his hand and I handed him a copy of my book and I spoke to him, you know, and he said, listen, we need to talk, and I've never heard from him again. And then my congressman has faxed over my sworn affidavits to the Judiciary Committee, to his attention, to Diane Feinstein's connection, which basically she did the same thing to me as she did to Ford, only at least Ford got her story out at some point when it became useful for her. But no, there's got to be a reason that these people, and I suspect one of the reasons might be is that one of the discussions and part of my testimony is that I spoke with Jim Jones, the son of General Jones, when we were first bringing the shadow net to market about its potential for being used to sell, to offer to political campaigns in the U.S. and how we could go to a senator who would normally spend $30 million to win that seat and say, listen, we can give you that seat guaranteed for $3 million. You know, what senator do you know? What politician do you know with the amount of scruples to say no to that? I don't know. I've never seen,
well,
you know.
So how many companies now are doing shadow net type activities? Is it pretty widespread now, or is it just a few?
It's a cottage industry, and you have some people. You have several. I think there's like, and I can't remember the names, but they're pretty easy to dig up. There's two or three companies in Texas alone. Then you've got Psy Group, which is clearly that's all they are. You've got Wikistrat, clearly that's all they are. You know, General Jones, he's he was the chairman of the board of Atlantic Council. You got everybody that was involved involved in our impeachment process right now, as far as from the State Department, every key member of that, every key figure with maybe the exception of Sondland, who was like in the private sector anyway, are all active members of the Atlantic Council. So no, you've these.
Well,
these
tell
people
us what
are,
the Atlantic Council is.
Well, the Atlantic Council is basically the communications arm of NATO, right? And Jones.
And they were the ones involved with the ShadowNet, right?
Jones is the guy who owns the intellectual property rights for the ShadowNet. And he's also the former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, Saxur, Supreme Allied Commander of Europe. So he obviously, and he owns the intellectual property rights for the ShadowNet, right? So am I saying that I have proof that they are doing something? No. Have investigations started on a lot less of evidence where you have all of these people? And keep in mind, it's not like, one guy owns an embroidery shop and all of a sudden I'm trying to tie him to a dissemination, black ops conspiracy. No, all these people do the same things. And Paul Manafort is directly connected by several different countries to doing the exact same thing in the 2010 Ukrainian elections is what I'm describing the ShadowNet is doing, right? And at the same time he's being accused of doing this, we're his number one partner. Now, his company doesn't privately have the ability. His company consisted of two or three people, and they subcontracted the workout. Well, it's not like you're going to call up Best Buy and have the Geek Squad come down and provide, tactical IIA black ops for you. You're going to go to a company that has battlefield-tested expertise and capabilities in non-attributional dissemination of fabricated content, which is exactly what everything is. So are you going to just start shopping around, or are you going to go to your best friend, the guy you've been subcontracting with for years now, and say, hey, we need you to do this. We want to use this in Ukraine. I'm not talking about something potentially sanctioned by our government. I'm talking about just citizen, former generals, former politician threat actors that are doing this not for politics, but for profit. Playing around in the 2000, and if they're playing around in the 2010 Ukraine election, which I have significant evidence to show that, then why wouldn't they be playing around in the 2014 Ukraine election or the 2016 Ukraine election? It's all the same people, the same State Department people, the same everybody. Am I crazy?
So when you hear the impeachment going on against Trump, and then all the stuff they were doing in Ukraine, meddling with their elections, using the ShadowNet and all the evidence you have, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, complete frustration, disappointment on every level. My life's been destroyed, don't get me wrong. They've done a number on it, for sure, by everything you can imagine. But yeah, it's so sad because obviously someone who enlists in the army at 39, who is a patriot and who loves his country and wanted and thought he was doing a good thing, who had no idea about how the games that these guys have been playing for decades. I had no idea about any of that. Right? I'm just a patriot that ended up taking a job that ended up working for these people and doing this program. And I never signed up for having, like you say, you don't shit where you eat, right? I never signed up to have anything that I worked on or participated in that be used against us in our own country. Even I don't care who it helps, because what they are doing, and what I suspect probably the majority of people in office right now, what I believe that they are doing threatens the very core of the integrity of the election process. And the Democrats throw that around left and right now, right? Oh, he's threatening the integrity of the election. No, you guys have been for a long time. And the Adam Schiff sent, I've sent him direct stuff, my Democrat congressman, because I had moved over to Clearwater, Charlie Crist, former Florida governor, who's now a Republican governor, who's now a Democrat congressman in Clearwater, Florida. He faxed my information, his Veterans Affairs officer, faxed my information directly to Adam Schiff back in January. Right? Why didn't Adam Schiff, and when he comes out and says, literally, okay, this is information that I was Manafort's partner developing the same thing that he's being indicted for. You would think they would want to look into that, right? And yet he comes out saying, we got to listen to whistleblowers. We got to listen to the whistleblower. We got to protect the whistleblower. Where's my whistleblower protection? And I'm not hiding.
And you have more information.
I'm not hiding. That's I'm right here. Come at me, right? I'm not hiding behind some curtain, right? You can. Oh my God, you can come at me and pick out a billion things wrong with me, with my character, you know, some ethical issues. I'll help you with that. It's pretty easy, but what you can't touch is my patriotism or my honor or my integrity when it comes to my country. And it's just the most insulting, it's the most frustrating thing to hear someone like Adam Schiff stand up there in front of America. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. I just became a Republican last year, and I'm not a Republican. I'm registered Republican. I'm a Trump Republican, because the only person that I've seen that has actually done anything of what he said and is actually trying to fix the problem, and that has actually rejected offers by Psy Group and by 11, according to the Mueller report, his campaign rejected 11 attempts by Russians to actually influence him. The only person that I've ever seen actually reject these services has been Trump and his family. So until if that changed and I found something different, I would not support him. But right now, the only person that I've seen that has been trying to fix this problem and has been hit back hard by the exact same people that I'm being hit by is President Trump, right? So that's why I support him, not for some political thing, not because of it. It's very personal to me, because I understand, I see what he's dealing with. I know the people that he's dealing with. They're very bad, very bad people.
Well, where can people learn more about you? Where can they get your book? People need to learn more about you. They need to read your actual sworn affidavit that went to Congress. Where can they get all this?
I'm going to send you a copy of my sworn affidavit, and you just need to block out the PII in it, the personally identifiable information, and post it on your site. I don't have the ability to do that using on my site without putting money into it, right? And I don't have extra money for that.
Okay, so I'll post that on my site, and where can they get a copy of your book? And then you also have an ongoing blog.
HTTPS, put that in there because I haven't fixed the security certificate, victimoftheswamp.com, all right? So victimoftheswamp.com or at PFC40book is my Twitter. And I spend most – I can't update – I'm one person, right? I can't update all these different things. I have a Patreon site. I haven't updated it in a bit. I got about 15 or 16 supporters, and they helped contribute like $77, and bless their heart, thank you very much. But that you saw as we were trying to get this interview started, I'm struggling with an 8 meg my roommate's laptop with 8 megs and it's old and broken, right? I don't have, now I'm working on fixing some of those things, so I'll be able to do, hopefully in the next week or so, I'm going to build out a white box server where I'll be able to do some post-production on video, or I'll be able to do proper streaming and be able to start back up with my Patreon site, right? But I can't do that. I've posted a lot of YouTube videos, but I can't, to make any correction on those takes, you know, 2 to 4 hours if it doesn't just crash to make any post-production edits, right? So until I can get that resolved, I'm doing interviews with folks like you. I haven't updated my victimofthewamp.com site in a while. I mostly spend, but it's pretty well updated too. I mostly spend my time now on Twitter, and so that's probably the best way to catch me. And I've gotten a lot of new followers.
That's great. So Twitter is the, since you've been doing these shows. But what, where can they get your book? Is it on your website or is it Amazon?
Yeah, you can link to it on my website. It's available on Amazon. It's self-published on Amazon. And it's got some, you know, it's got some grammatical errors. It's got some grammar errors. I couldn't afford to have it edited. You know, I had surgery back in 2017. I got thrown into a medically induced coma for about 6 hours. As a result of the prostate surgery I had, and I woke up from that and I said, I've been putting this off too long, and if I don't publish this then, and something happens to me, even if it may not have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, it's going to be out there, right? So I published it, and I'm working on my next book right now, Archetypes of the Shadow Net. And that's going to be much better done, perfectly citated, it'll have like final editing done. I don't know if it'll be professionally published. I would love to be able to do that, but it will be much better, right? So you learn a lot from your first mistakes, right?
I might have a publisher I could hook you up with, or maybe if there's a publisher out there that could reach out. There's more and more publishers that are getting the courage to print this type of work. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody reaches out to you. And can you stay around for my Patreons and do a little special segment for them?
Sure. Absolutely. Love to. Okay.
Thank you so much for what you're doing, what you're about to do, and just this fight. I just hope people talk to you, because it's just another indication that the mainstream media is terrible and they need to go to independent journalists like us who aren't influenced, who aren't paid by somebody, and we can cover these stories. So thank you so much.
Thank you.